Again, good morning, Times Square Church Summit Campus. It is a blessing to be here with you, even though you're not here, but I know you're watching us. It is obviously a bit different than usual, but we miss you very much. And with anticipation, we're waiting for that time when we're going to be able to gather together and worship our Lord and Savior. And I'm expecting some shouts of glory, shouts of joy once we gather here. Because I think this season is going to help us realize how much we miss each other. And the purpose of that also is because we're one body of Christ. We're not divided, but we are to be united. This season, I believe that God is going to speak so many things into our hearts, into our lives, and remind us of His faithfulness, and remind us that He has died on a cross for this body to be together. And we will realize how much we need each other. If before we thought that we can make this journey on our own, I believe this season actually is going to open up to us and show us that we need our brothers and sisters. We need friendships, and they are vital in our lives. Today, I would like to speak to you about hope in trials. Hope in trials. We're definitely living in a historic time that we have not even thought or comprehend that we would live in. I believe that in the near future, history would only write about this journey that all of us have took together. It is an unprecedented time we have faced, but God is still with us. And I believe that the church is actually having a lot to do with this time that is going on in this world, meaning that we are to be the answer. We are to be the hope for people that live in despair, for people that are actually struggling. The church is the answer to the need that is out there, to the violence that people are just going crazy. But the church is there to bring peace, hope, love, and unity. Psalm 147 verse 3 says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. We live at a time when there is so much wounds in this generation. So much tears are in the world. So much hopelessness. So much pain. Maybe some of you are even dealing with depression. Maybe some of you have even lost your job and you don't even know what tomorrow would hold. Maybe some of you even lost the loved one or a family member during this season. And it seems like all the things that we have heard from day to day, from the Word of God, it seems like we're hopeless in this moment. But I believe God has trained us for moments like this. When everything was good in our life, when the Word of God was speaking into our hearts, into our lives, I believe actually God has trained us for moments like that. And you're not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that me and you are alive during this season, but God has a purpose for me and for you. He has allowed us to be born and to live in this generation and to be a testimony for His glory for such a time as this. And I want to remind you during this short word that you're not alone in this journey. God is with you. Even though people might leave you, even though friends might leave you, even though you might feel forgotten or nobody's even calling you, God is there for you. He's always available 24 hours for you. It's only, do you see Him in that journey? Can you call upon Him? Can you call to Him? And He is there to help you. Isaiah 43 verse 1 and 2 says, But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they should not overwhelm you. Then you walk through the fire, you should not be burned, and the flame should not consume you. What a powerful, powerful promise from the Lord. And I know that in the context, it's talking about Moses and the people when they walked through the waters and those waters were not able to kill them or to destroy them. And also, we're reminded about the three men, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they went through the fire and they were in this fiery furnace because they decided to stand for what is right, because they have chosen to worship the Lord and not bow down before the gods of this world. And because of that, as a result, God kept them through that fire. My brother, my sister, I want to remind you that the waters and the waves that are coming against us today in this generation, in the season you and I live in, the challenges that we're going through in our life, the fires that want to just take the breath away from us so we can suffocate, God has promised that we are not alone, but He is with you and with me. What an amazing promise. It wasn't just for the Old Testament. It wasn't just for the Israelite nation, but it's also for me and for you to be reminded today of His promise that we are not alone, but He's with us. And as the king and other people saw four people in that furnace, do you see God in the journey you're in? Maybe there's four member families in your home, but do you see the fifth one who is God? Maybe it's not visibly there, but you can feel Him, but you can sense Him because He lives within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you might say that everything just crumbling around me. What is the hope that have been promised to me? What is those promises that the Word of God has been speaking to me for years, but now when I'm in need, it seems like there is silence. God lives in you and within me. And He lives with us, within us by the power of the Holy Spirit and reminds us that we are not alone. And the Spirit of God cries out from in us, Abba Father. He's your Father. He's your friend. He's also our Savior. He is our hope. He is our future. And nothing that is going on in your life, He is not aware of. But He's aware of every need and every circumstance you face. The Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when everything is good in our life, we can just read the scripture and be excited about. But actually, this scripture comes so much alive in our hearts, in our lives, when we go through difficult moments, when we're actually going through challenges and failures in our life, when we are actually maybe struggling with some sin in our life, maybe when we're struggling with depression and ready to give up and throw the towel and say, enough is enough. This is where the scripture comes alive, and the Word of God says, but I will never leave you nor forsake you. You might wander to the right and to the left. You might wonder where is God, but God is always right there next to you. When it seems like everything that was familiar and known to us is no longer familiar and known to us anymore, we tend to lose hope. We tend to lose hope. We can turn to the bank accounts and be reminded one more time that they're empty. We can turn to our jobs and maybe be reminded that maybe the job is lost. But God is not lost. God is not empty. But He's full of mercy and riches that can come from heaven to you and to me. And the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We can say that, yes, God did all these things to people that I'm reading in the Bible. But what about me? But let me tell you, my friend, that if God was the same yesterday, He is the same today. If He did all those things yesterday and He provided and He took care of people yesterday, He can take care of you today as well. And not only today, but also we have a future in Him because He is forever the same. Psalm 34, verse 17 and 19 says this, "The righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." Not some of the troubles. It's not some of the things we're going through. But the Bible says that He delivers us from all the troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Do you have a broken heart today? Are you going through pain and agony, hopelessness? The Bible says that the Lord is actually near to you. Maybe nearer than you ever known. And He's waiting for you to open up your heart to Him and say, God, help me. This kind of moments create a dependency upon Him. This kind of situation that we're going through in our life, when the winds are coming against us, is there to create or to help us to cling upon the Lord. And he says, and save such as have contrite spirit or crushed spirit. He saves those people. And then verse 19, I love this verse. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. I just love that. He says that, yes, you might be going through afflictions. Yes, things might not look all right in your life, but the Lord will deliver you from all of them. I love that verse, that we have such a hope in him that he reminds us, the Lord reminds us that he is our deliverer. Nothing that you can possess can deliver you from the things you face in life, but only God. Only God, because he has come to give us life and life in abundance. The second thing I would like to remind you today, that don't lose hope. Hard times won't last forever. And you can say, Pastor Pavel, are you kidding me? Look at the world around me. Look at what is going on around me. It seems like this is going to last forever. It seems like when COVID started, they were only talking about a few weeks, but now we're about 3 months into this, and they don't even know what is going to happen tomorrow. How can this only last for a short time, and there is hope around the corner? But I want to talk to you a little bit about the hope that it's not just here on this earth, but also the hope that we have in Christ. And this hope, it's obviously, it's us looking to heaven, looking to the hills where our help comes from. And our help comes from the Lord. Romans chapter 8 verse 18 says, I consider that what we suffer at this present time cannot be compared at all with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. That's amazing. Whatever what we suffer, whatever what we're going through in our life, it can be persecution, hunger, or oppression, or whatever what it is, nothing can be compared to the glory and to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. My brother, my sister, we are not to put our focus only on the earthly things and what we can possess. Because those things, as we have found out, if the economy goes down, all of those things go down. But when we anchor our hope in Jesus Christ, when everything goes down, actually the hope in Christ arises in us, because he is the source of life. As I'm reminding you again and again, he is the source of love, he is the source of hope, he is the source of future, and he is the source and the only source of salvation. And if you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to cry out to him. Cry out to him and all what you have to say, God, I need you. I need you. I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy of you. But I need you in my life. And I believe that he can do that. Our focus cannot be only in what we possess right now or in the present moment. But also we are to look for the future, for the promises of God. Amen and amen. Because he is worthy. I've brought these examples before, but I would like to remind you again. My grandfather, when he was in 20s, he was persecuted and they have imprisoned him because simply he believed in Jesus Christ. And it seemed like everything that he had around him was left behind and crumbling apart, and they were in prison. And all what they had to do is just eat a piece of bread and drink a jar of water. And they were so skinny, but they had hope in Christ. They were not just looking at the present moment and living in despair. But what gave them the strength actually to go forward when they were in prison, so to speak, for that penalty, but their hope in Jesus Christ actually helped them survive. He was not able only to survive, but he was able to live almost to be 80 years old. And he was able to have generations after him. Now after him is over 300 people, most of them walking with the Lord, serving the Lord. And it's because one man said that I'm going to put my hope in God. Even though my body is so skinny, even though it seems like I'm dying from hunger, but I'm going to trust the Lord. Because this season will pass and God is going to bring another season. And the Bible says that weeping might endure for a moment, but joy comes in the morning. And this is what they were looking for that joy. And that joy can only be found in Jesus Christ. It cannot be found in the possessions. It cannot be found in the hobbies we do. It cannot be found in the music we listen. But it can be found in Jesus Christ. And even though when he was in prison, nobody could have robbed him of that hope. Because that hope was being birthed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to remind you that this season will pass also. But will it pass for you with hope in Christ? Or will it pass for you just wandering around? And I want to suggest to you today and remind you that there's such a hope in Jesus Christ. And you can experience that for you. And in my closing, as I'm becoming to finish the sermon shortly, I want to remind you that you are not to give up. Don't give up in life. You know, life can beat you from the left and from the right. It might seem like you're in this boat that the waves are just carrying you around. And it just seems like the easiest thing is just to give up. The pressure in your minds, the battles that you're facing in your mind are so huge and so big that it seems for you that even some of you might feel like ending your life, that this is the escape, that you cannot take the pressure that is there. But I want to remind you, do not give up. Don't lose your hope. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul when he was on that ship, when he was on the journey to Rome. And when the winds came and began to just come against that ship, the ship began to break and the people began to lose hope. In the middle of catastrophe, in the middle of breaking apart, in the middle of an accident, so to speak, in the middle of disaster, people began to lose hope. And Apostle Paul is the man of God. He rose and he began to speak hope to these people. And he said one of the things, do not lose hope. We shall not die, but we will go to the end. The plans of God and the journey that God has taken me and you to, he's faithful to carry us to the end. He has not brought us to this point to leave us to die. But he has brought us to this point so we can be a great testimony for him that he is able, that he is faithful, that God will take me and you to the end. And at the end, we're going to have shouts of glory, shouts of dancing, shouts of praising, because it's his faithfulness, because it's his journey that we're on. And it's because of his love and mercy for me and for you. We will get to the end. We will get to the end. Do not give up. Hold to that hope, hold to that faith in him, hold to the word of God, hold to prayer. Let the word of God be an anchor to your life right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 8 and 10 says this. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. And the reasons why, in verse 10 it says, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Meaning, the reason why we live, the reason why we're not crushed, the reason why the darkness of this world cannot consume us, it is because Jesus Christ died on a cross and he won the battle for me and for you. And now that life lives within me and within you. And because of that life, we have a future. Because of that life, we don't have to give up. But we can look forward with hope into this generation. We can look forward with hope during these riots. We can look with hope during these issues that are always there, that is being rooted by the power of sin. But Jesus Christ broke the power of sin. And me and you as believers have the answer to this world now. The hope that is only in him. The world is looking at me and you right now for this hope. The world is looking with their eyes at the church of Jesus Christ for hope. And only we can offer that hope. And one way we can do this is not to be divided, but to be united, one body of Jesus Christ, to bring that hope to the generation. And that's why we cannot give up. That's why we cannot step aside. That's why we cannot say, this is not the battle that I want to be in. This is the battle. This is the time that God has called me and you to stand. and to stand firm, and not just to stand, but to stand upon His foundation. Because those who stand upon His foundation shall prosper, should not be ruined. They should not fall, but they should stand strong and declare His goodness. Why can we go through all these things and still have a smile on our face? Because of the promises of God. Because God is with us, not against us. And when God is with us, no one can come against us. And I love the Psalm 118 verse 17. It says, "You shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord." I love this passage. You, my friend, you who are watching me, you right now who are thinking, is this me really? Yes, this is you. In the moments when it seems like there is no hope, in the moments right now where you're dealing with depression and dealing with sickness, dealing with cancer, dealing with financial crisis, this is you right now, that you're thinking that your life is at the end, that there is no future for you. The Bible says and reminds me and you that you should not die. You will not die, but live, and not only live, but declare the works of the Lord. Declare His faithfulness. Declare that He has brought you in. This is a time and a time and season we live in that we can tell our children how God was faithful to us during this time. This is a season that God has allowed me and you to live in. So we can raise our kids, so we can raise our family, so we can be reminded to our spouses, remind each other how faithful God has been. And say that, you know what? It might seem like I'm dying, but I will not die. But I will live and declare the works of the Lord. Because it is God who gives life. It is the Holy Spirit who births this life. It is God who brings hope. And we are not to give up. In closing, I'm reminded of a story that is written in Luke chapter 24. It was a story where the disciples actually and the people of that time, they were looking for Messiah. And they were expecting for Messiah to come and save them. And Jesus came. Jesus was born and they were so excited. And they were looking for the time where they can make Jesus as king. And it seemed like that moment when they came, when they arrived, Jesus departed when they wanted to make Him as king. But Jesus came to die on a cross, to be king not only for the Jewish nation but the humanity, to bring hope not only for Jewish people but for all the people who will put their faith and trust in Him. And they have crucified Him. They have crucified Him. And it came a moment where a lot of the disciples, they were just living in despair. Maybe they were going through some of the things that me and you are going today during this COVID time. During this riots where people are looking for answers, but there's no answers. It seems like everything they have built up to, all the hopes that they have thought that they will have in life, it just seemed it crumbled when Jesus was killed on the cross. But they were not aware of the bigger plan that God had for humanity. Jesus had to die for God's plan to be fulfilled. Some of the things in this world that are going on, they have to come. They have to come, and the Bible is warning us about those things. The Bible is reminding us about those things. But it says, when you see all these things, lift your eyes to the hills, because your salvation is coming soon. My brother, my sister, be encouraged today. Be encouraged that all these things that are going on, God has control over it. Nothing that is going on, He is not aware of. And the disciples were just walking on the road to Emmaus, two disciples. And they were just talking with each other of the pain and despair that was going on in their life. We thought that this Jesus that we have followed, that He would not be crucified, but He would be king. We have put our hope into Him. We have thought that things would be different, but now we're all scattered. It seems like we don't have a leader. We don't have a pastor. We don't have a person that we can follow, because that person who we put our faith and trust in is dead on the cross. But do you know that He was in God's plan for Him to die so we can have life, as I mentioned before. But what I love about this story, He says that Jesus joined them. Jesus joined their conversation. And the conversation you have at your living room table, the conversations you're having early in the morning, late in the evening, with your spouse, with your kids. The conversations, maybe uncomfortable conversations you might have. And you might seem like nobody is there. You're alone and you're just sharing your pain and distress and the hopelessness. But Jesus joined these disciples on this road. And I want to remind you that Jesus is there next to you. Matter of fact, He is within you, in your heart. He's much aware of everything that you're going through. He's much aware of every circumstance and situation you're going through. Nothing is hidden from His eyes. And He's listening. And He's not mad at you. Even though you might go through pain, and maybe if you were aware of that He's there, you'd be probably embarrassed of some of the things you're even saying. But He's not mad at you. But He wants to hear you. He's there to help you, to understand you. And the Bible says that it came a moment where the evening came, it's getting late, and Jesus did a motion that He wanted to go forward, but these two disciples says, please stay with us. And I would like to read this passage that is written in Luke chapter 24, verse 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and He indicated that He would have gone further. Verse 29. But they constrained Him, saying, abide with me, or abide with us. For it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And He went into this and stayed with them. And I would like to just ask you to pay attention to verse 30. Now it came to pass, as He sat at the table with them, that He took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew Him. I love this passage so much. This passage speaks volume to me, that in the moments of despair, in the moments where I'm on a road wandering hopelessness, in the moments when I think that Jesus is dead, He is very much alive. In the moments where you see my situations, there is no hope, there is very much hope there. Do you see that hope? Do you see Him in this journey? My brother and my sister, over here we are reminded the only way, and the only way the apostles, they saw Jesus, these two men saw Jesus and recognized Him, it was not on the road, it was not in this agony, it was not in the storms, in the winds, but it was at the table. It was at the table where Jesus came and broke that bread. Their eyes were opened and they knew Him. I want to encourage you today to find strength at the table. Not from social media, not from the news station. Find hope at the table. Not in the stories that you hear, not from your neighbors. Find hope and strength at the table, because there you will see Jesus. When you will look to the news only to be fed from the news stations, you will be fed with fear and hopelessness. But I want to encourage you today, come to the table and you will be encouraged, and you will see Jesus, and He will speak peace to you. He will bring hope to your family. He will bring restoration into your marriage. He will heal your marriage. He will heal your relationships with your spouse, with your children. He will do that. But you have to come to the table. Invite Him to your table. Invite Him to your living rooms, to your bedrooms. Invite Him in those places where He's not seen, but you come and kneel down and say, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I cry out to You. Reveal Yourself to me. Reveal the hope that I am to have in You. God, I pray that You bring healing into our family. God, I pray that You bring hope for our children. God, I pray that You open up the eyes to those people that are walking in darkness. God, I pray that You keep our children in the generation and the time we live in. They're so small and innocent, and we don't know what tomorrow will hold. But we know that You hold tomorrow in Your hands. God, I pray that You bring such foundation in their life of understanding Your love and Your mercy. God, we invite You into the conversations we have. We invite You at our table. Break bread with us, oh God. Help us, oh Lord, through your word, when we read your word, so your spirit can speak to us and lift us up. Jesus, you have brought us so far, and we know that you will bring us to the end. Just give us the grace that we need today. Those families that are struggling today, God, I pray that you bring hope. Oh God, I pray that you open the doors that needs to be opened. Those that are struggling financially, you provide. God, I pray those that are struggling, maybe they don't have food in their homes, you provide. And I pray, help us to be the church that will be the answer to the very prayer I'm praying right now. Lord, we just don't want to pray the needs, but we want to be part of the answer to the very needs that are out there. God, you've been merciful and good to us, and we want to thank you for that. Thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you for the hope that we have in you. Thank you, Jesus. Give us the grace to shut things off that needs to be shut off, and help us to come to the table again. Because at this table we will see you. We'll be reminded of your faithfulness and of who you are. And you are our life. You are the source of life. You are our hope. You are our forgiveness. We find healing there and restoration in you. Lord, we love you today. And we bless your name. Because you are good. In Jesus' name, amen.